From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Here are some news stories read out by Amanda with the following headlines. Bangladeshi government to release ex-Prime Minister Zia from prison. President urges governors to draft action plan on COVID-19. Now the news in detail. The Bangladeshi government has decided to release Khalidia Zid, the former Prime Minister and current chairperson of the opposition Bangladesh Nationalist Party, or BNP, from prison for 6 months for health reasons, media reported on Tuesday, citing Law Minister Anisul Haq. According to Bangladeshi Pratham Alo newspaper, Zia will receive treatment at her place of residence and be barred from traveling abroad. The Home Ministry's approval was necessary for Zia's release, the newspaper added, citing Haq. Zia was sentenced to 17 years of imprisonment over corruption charges in February 2018. Having been the BNP chairperson since 1984, Zia held the post of Prime Minister twice from 1991, 1996, and from 2001, 2006. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has directed governments across Indonesia to formulate detailed action plans for handling the coronavirus outbreak and circular maps of COVID-19 for their regions in particular. The president has also asked governments to refocus and relocate resources according to the Presidential Instruction No. 4-2020, including for social programs for poor families and cash-intensive labor and to cut unnecessary costs. Chairman of the Task Force for the Acceleration of Coronavirus Handling, Doni Monardo, said in a teleconference following a limited meeting between the president and governors on combating COVID-19 on Tuesday in Jakarta that all policies taken by the governors as chair of the task force need to be comprehensively pursued to involve all stakeholders, including religious and other figures, so that they are fully supported by the community. People's Consultative Assembly Speaker Bambang Susatyo supported the National Police Force's authority measures to persistently disperse crowds to prevent the spread of coronavirus or COVID-19 and to abide by the government's call for physical distancing. In order to ensure the effectiveness of the program, he stated that the police should disseminate information concerning strict measures to be taken by the authorities. Such actions can be in the form of imposing criminal sanctions on those disregarding the appeal to stay at home and failing to practice physical distancing. The former speaker at the House of Representatives urged the government through the security forces to aggressively conduct mobile patrol activities to remind the people that have yet to fully comprehend the dangers of the spread and transmission of COVID-19. He further expounded that the measure aimed at furnishing comprehensive information on the criticality of practicing physical distancing, aimed at protecting the public and families from contracting COVID-19, as well as providing guidelines for clean and healthy living in the community. President Joko Widodo has asked all the ministries and also the Minister of Health to implement the necessary norms, standards and procedures for providing health insurance coverage to patients diagnosed with COVID-19 or the coronavirus disease. The President made the statement during a limited meeting on Healthcare and Social Security Agency funding held via video conference on Tuesday from the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta. The President said the norms must cover information on health facilities, service costs and data collection from health facilities providing services to COVID-19 patients. President Jokowi said he would like to remind all parties involved that it is the nation's duty to ensure the national health insurance system is functioning properly and sustainably for the people of Indonesia in view of the COVID-19 pandemic. Bank Indonesia said the inflation rate until the third week of March 2020 had remained under control at 0.11%, helped by government measures to regulate the price of basic commodities. Bank Indonesia Governor Peri Warjio said during an online press briefing on Tuesday in Jakarta that the inflation rate remained under control in March 2020 as a result of efforts to control the price of basic necessities. Bank Indonesia government also said that he would like to laud the central and regional governments which have striven to supply foodstuffs that prices remain stable. Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and International Olympic Committee or IOC President Thomas Bach agreed on Tuesday to postpone the Olympics until 2021. The IOC has been facing mounting pressure to delay the Games, which were originally scheduled to take place from July 24 to August 9 amid the novel coronavirus outbreak. It was also announced that the event will still be dubbed Tokyo 2020 despite the postponement. A statement from the IOC and Tokyo 2020 Organizing Committee said that the IOC President and Prime Minister of Japan have concluded that the Games must be rescheduled to a date beyond 2020, but not later than summer 2021 to safeguard the health of the athletes, everybody involved in the Olympic Games, and the international community. The leaders agreed that the Olympic Games in Tokyo could stand as a beacon of hope to the world during these troubled times, that the Olympic flame could become the light at the end of the tunnel in which the world itself is at present. President Jokowi called on all ministries and regional heads to apportion a special budget channeled from the state and regional administration budgets to cover the cost incurred in handling the coronavirus disease. The President urged all governors, district heads, and mayors across the country to ensure that a special budget is allocated that can be drawn from the unprioritized budget reallocation to ensure that the costs incurred in treating COVID-19 infected patients at hospitals are covered. The President made the statement during a limited meeting held video conference from the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on Tuesday. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo urged the Ministry of Finance and local governments to ensure that hospitals assigned to handle COVID-19 are guaranteed funding to treat the patients. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has directed governors across Indonesia to formulate detailed action plans for handling the coronavirus outbreak and circular maps of COVID-19 for their regions in particular. The President has also asked governors to refocus and reallocate resources according to Presidential Instruction No. 4, 2020, including for social programs for poor families and cash-intensive labor, and to cut unnecessary costs. Chairman of the Task Force for the Acceleration of Coronavirus Handling, Doni Monardo, said in a teleconference following a limited meeting between the President and governors on combating the COVID-19 in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that all policies taken by the governments as chair of the task force need to be comprehensive first to all and also involve all stakeholders, including religious and other figures, so that they are fully supported by the community. That was the news line. Today's commentary is on Tokyo 2020 Olympics delayed due to corona. The corona or COVID-19 pandemic has an impact on various aspects of life and human activities, whether individual and social, local, regional, and even international. All countries affected severely limit the movement of their population and prohibit mass activities. The world sporting event, the Tokyo 2020 Olympics, which was planned to take place from July 24 to August the 9th, has to be postponed. Although initially reluctant, Japan as the host of the Olympics and Paralympics sport this time finally agreed to postpone the sporting event that had been planned several years ahead. Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe said the postponement of the 2020 Olympics was due to the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. However, Japan remained committed to hosting the world's biggest sports event. In a joint statement between the Tokyo government and the Olympic organizers, the IOC, it was agreed that the delay would be carried out until the summer of 2021 at the latest. Japan stated that it remain committed to be the host and requested that the international event remain called the Tokyo 2020 Olympics. The postponement of local, regional, and international sports activities actually does not only occur with the Olympics and Paralympic Games 2020. European football match event, the Euro 2020, was postponed until the summer of 2021. The first session of the Formula One race car, the Grand Prix in Monaco, was also delayed. Postponement of large-scale sports activities is reasonable because they are always attended by many people. The Olympics would even be attended by athletes from various countries in the world, mostly affected by the COVID-19. Indeed, sports events other than sports competitions are also an opportunity where people from various nations meet. But in a situation like today, when the world is threatened by COVID-19, the safety of the athletes and the international community in general is certainly far more important. After all, the Tokyo 2020 Olympics was not cancelled but postponed. Hopefully, the coronavirus outbreak will soon pass. That was commentary.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll start with March the 25th, 1957. The European Economic Community is established. The European Economic Community is a regional organization that aims to unite the economies of its member countries. The initial goal of the European Economic Community was to introduce economic integration, including joint markets and custom unions. Among its six founding nations, France, Italy, Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg, signed the Rome Treaty in Rome, Italy, to establish an organization called the European Economic Community. After the European Union was formed in 1993, the EEC, or European Economic Community, was united and renamed the European Community. In 2009, all European Community institutions merged into the European Union. Turning to March 25, 1971, Operation Searchlight starts the Bangladesh Independence War. Operation Searchlight is a military security action conducted by the armed forces of Pakistan to overcome the Bengali nationalist movement in East Pakistan in March 1971. This operation was ordered by the West Pakistani government and was a continuation of Operation Blitz held in November 1970. The next day, on March the 26th, the Bangladesh Independence War erupted in the former Bangladesh region of East Pakistan. The Bengali Nationalist Movement attempted to free Bangladesh from Pakistan and became an independent state. The movement eventually managed to reach independence for Bangladesh thanks to the great help from India. The The last item is from March the 25th, 1975. King Faisal is assassinated. The Saudi King Faisal bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud was shot dead on March the 25th, 1975 by his own nephew, Faisal bin Musaid, who disguised as a Kuwaiti delegate who wanted to meet the king unexpectedly. King Faisal ran out of blood due to the gunshot wound and died. From the result of the investigation and interrogation, Faisal bin Musaid admitted that the murder was based on his own initiative, despite conspiracy theories circulated among the public. Faisal bin Musaid was also suspected of having a mental disorder. Shortly afterward, he was beheaded in public. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Sudah sewindu ku di dekatmu, ada di setiap pagi, di sepanjang harimu. Tak mungkin bila engkau tak tahu, bila ku menyimpan rasa yang ku pendam sejak lama. Setiap pagi ku menunggu di depan pintu, siapkan senyum terbaikku agar cerah harimu. Cukup bagiku melihatmu tersenyum manis di setiap pagimu, siangmu, malammu. Sesaat dia datang, pesona bagai pangeran, dan beri kau harapan, bualan cinta dan masa depan. Engkau lupakan aku, semua usahaku, semua pagi kita, semua malam kita. Depan pintu, siapkan senyum terbaikku agar cerah harimu. Cukup bagiku melihatmu tersenyum manis di setiap pagimu, siangmu, malammu. Sesaat dia datang, pesona bagai pangeran, dan beri kau harapan, bualan cinta dan masa depan. Engkau lupakan aku, semua usahaku, semua pagi kita, semua malam kita. Oh, 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 tak akan lagi ku menunggumu di depan pintu, dan tak ada lagi tutur manis ku merayu. Bila kini nyatanya engkau memilih dia, takkan lagi ku sebodoh ini larut di dalam angan, angan tanpa tujuan.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's My Indonesia is titled President's Signed Presidential Instruction on Budget Reallocation for COVID-19 Handling. Indonesian President Joko Widodo had signed the Presidential Instruction, or INPRES No. 4, in this year 2020 on the activity refocusing budget reallocation and service and goods procurement for COVID-19 handling acceleration. On the official website of Financial Ministry, the Presidential Instruction asked all ministries and state institutions to prioritize available budget allocation to accelerate COVID-19 handling according to the protocol. Indonesian government on March 11, 2020 had mentioned about activity refocusing budget reallocation and service and goods procurement as measure for COVID-19 handling acceleration. After the president ratified the presidential instruction, the ministry, state institutions, and regional government were asked to immediately revise their budget and then submit it to the finance minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati. Also, the presidential instruction regulates the ministries and institutions to accelerate activity refocusing, budget reallocation, and service and goods procurement for COVID-19 handling acceleration by expanding and opening access according to disaster mitigation law and its regulations. Previously, Finance Minister Sri Mulyani stated that her ministry had identified ministry and institution budget in the state budget 2020 amounting to 62.3 trillion rupiah that can be reallocated for COVID-19 spread handling fund. Reallocation will be used to procure health equipment such as test kit, hospital equipment, Wisma Atlet preparation and COVID-19 hospital development in Galang Island, Rio Islands. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani explained that the budget reallocation can be done directly. She exemplified it took less than 2 days for Health Ministry to revise their budget for import of test kit, protective equipment, and ventilator. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Ini ku akan akrobat dengan hidung merah tomat. Jangan sampai terlambat, kostumku siap, hati-hati kau terpikat. Oh, bercinta dengan singa terlatih, bersepeda roda satu, menari menari di atas tali. Tak takut jatuh, aku lebih takut jatuh tanpa dirimu. Musikku terus berbunyi, tubuhku terus atraksi, walau ku tak tahu pasti adakah kau datang malam. Di bala dasirkus wajahku tertutup make up, tempas tubuhmu akan aku tangkap, hadirmu membuatku lengkap, namun rasaku padamu tak. Terungkap tak apa asal kau tertawa. bagaikanku di bola dah sirkus. Berbunyi tubuhku terus atraksi, walau ku tak tahu pasti adakah kau datang malam ini. Musikku terus berbunyi tubuhku terus atraksi, walau ku tak tahu pasti adakah kau akan datang. Ku ingin kau datang, adakah kau akan datang? Ingin kau datang, saksikan ku di balada sirkus.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, after listening Indonesian song, it is the right time for us to present next segment that talk about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. And here is Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder is about Megalithicum Village in Millennium. The Megalithic era is a period of civilization in world history. In the eastern part of Indonesia, there is a hamlet which still looks like its original image. It is called Bena Hamlet in East Nusa Tenggara. It still has a megalithic landscape and it is maintained well. The word of Bena comes from the first original tribe which lived in the region. But there are many stories on the origin of the ancient hamlet, which is predicted to have existed since 1,200 years ago. It is located on the slope of Mount Ineri, as high as 2,245 meters above sea level, or precisely at Tiwunuwu village, Ineri district in East Nusa Tenggara. The hamlet is longwise from north to south and known for its traditional house, Bena villagers, and also their ancestors' traditions. The small hamlet, which is occupied by the original tribe of the region, was determined by a World Heritage Site by UNESCO. Terraced soil structures are also a beautiful part of the hamlet. At the end of the hamlet, there is a peak of the stair, and there is also a gazebo which can be used for praying. The existence at the slope of the mountain is characteristic of old community of mountainous devotees as the god's place. According to residents of the hamlet, they believe in the existence of Peta, the god which lives in a mountain and protects their hamlet. Bena hamlet consists of 40 houses which surround each other. The hamlet is longwise from the north to the south, and the hamlet gateway is located at the north. While at the south, there is a peak and a steep cliff edge. Generally, the livelihood of the men is farming. In addition to producing corns, tubers, and beans, they also plant coffee and candle nut on Mount Ineri. Meanwhile, women work diligently by weaving, in which their products are sold to tourists or sent to Bajawa city. The distance of Bena hamlet is around 90 kilometers from Bajawa, which is the capital city of Manado. To get there, you can use land transportation. Even though the road is good, you must be a skillful driver, since the road is curvy and hilly. Bena hamlet is the tourism destination of Nada hamlet. In fact, the hamlet is often visited by foreign tourists from Germany and Italy. At the middle of the hamlet, there are some buildings which are called Baga Ngadu by local people. The shape of Baga is similar with little huts without dwellers, while Ngadu is a building with one pole and foam fiber roof so that its shape is like a shelter. Ngadu's pole is usually made from special kind of hardwood because the pole also functions as animal sacrificial gallows when traditional parties are held. The hamlet is not touched yet by technology. Banner's building functions not only as residence but also having a deep meaning with local wisdom, and at present, it's still relevant to be applied for the people in maintaining the environment. That was our segment, Indonesian Wonder, featuring Bena Hamlet in East Nusa Tenggara Province. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic.
Yang dulu, yang dulu pernah isi hatinya. Namun aku takkan peduli. Yang penting dia mulai tahu. Sungguh aku mengharapkan cintanya.
Berikanlah dia untukku, jadikanlah.
cintanya. Yang penting dia mulai tahu, sungguh aku mengharapkan cintanya.
Listener, for the next segment, we will present you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian Language, we will introduce you to some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian language. And this program is a cooperation program between The Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. And here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Keluhan di Hotel or Complaints for the Hotel. Listen to this conversation about keluhan di hotel, which means complaints for the hotel. Kevin asked the hotel room service officer about his complaints.
Coba masuk ke kamar mandi, Mas.
Baik, Pak. Permisi.
Lihat, saluran airnya mampet.
Oh, rusak ya? Saya panggil tukang leding sekarang.
Now I'm going to introduce the vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Kamar mandi, which means bathroom. Keran air, which means water tap. Rusak, which means broken. Permisi, which means excuse me. Tukang leding, which means plumber. Coba masuk ke kamar mandi, which means check the bathroom. Lihat saluran airnya mampet, which means look, the drain is clogged. Saya panggil tukang leding sekarang, which means I call the plumber right now. When you are at a hotel, you might have some problems. The words which you may use when asking the complaint such as rusak or broken, tidak menyala or off, and belum dirapikan or not tidied up yet. For example, AC-nya tidak menyala, which means the air conditioner doesn't work. Remote televisinya rusak, which means the TV remote is broken. Kamar saya belum dirapikan, which means my room hasn't been made up yet. Saya tidak dapat menggunakan internet, which means I cannot use the internet. In the conversation, the hotel officer says that he will call tukang leding or the plumber in English. In this context, the plumber is a person who can repair water pipes. Besides, the word tukang is also used for someone who sells something such as tukang bakso, or bakso seller, and tukang nasi goreng or fried rice seller. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. And listeners, next segment we would like to give you information about Indonesian music. Hopefully, it can also entertain you. Here is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we are going to present you a song from Saudi Sulawesi titled Wulele Sanggula. The song Wulele Sanggula was composed by H.M. Sanip. The song is traditional song of Tolaki, the biggest ethnicity in Southeast Sulawesi that live in Kendari City and Kolaka Regency. The lyrics of Wulele Sanggula is written in Tolaki's traditional language. The lyrics tell a story of an angel who came down from heaven. The angel is described so beautifully and is always praised by the local people in the region. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Wulele Sanggula by Sarah and Nita. Enjoy the song.
Hey!
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting. Thank you for your kind attention, for listening our English program. And don't go anywhere and keep listening for our another program. So stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at voindonesia, and our email address voi@voinews.id.
Thank you.